All right, folks, welcome back a little bit more. We'll get some real Percy Heath coming up soon. Remembering him, he passed away on this day. That was Nehema, obviously, because that was his group. But someone else on the Vibes, he played the bass. But good to have you all with us. We are continuing our conversations here at the Mark Steiner Show on Public Housing, reminding you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's one word, MarylandEducators.org. Or you can go to our website, SteinerShow.org, and click on the Maryland State Education Association's banner. It's right there. We are here in the studio with Jessica Lewis, who is housing organizer at the Right to Housing Alliance and a current OSI fellow. Good to see you once again, Jessica.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us on.
In the studio as well, Mitch Peterson, my co-host, the other night at Red Emma's, when we were talking about the future of public housing. He's a resident of Chase House and a community activist. Good to have you in the studio, man.
Good to see you.
Sharon Jones joins us, who lives at Bell Park Tower.
Yes.
And was also at Red Emma's the other night in that conversation we were having. And Gary Stroud is with us. Gary Stroud is a resident of Bernard E. Mason Apartments over on the west side of town and is a longtime community activist as well. Good to have you all in the studio.
Thank you so much.
410-319-8888 is the number here. You can join us by writing us at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages, tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. You know, one of the things that I think that I'd like to hear, though, start off with here, Jessica, if I could start with you, is just about the Right to Housing Alliance. For our listeners who have never heard of you before, even though you've been on the show before and we've been featuring it, what's going on? Because I thought my own impression was that the work you were doing was kind of narrowed into Park Heights and fighting around tenants' rights. We can talk a bit about that, but it's broader than that. So talk a bit about that.
Yeah, it's much broader than that. We always had this larger vision of doing human rights organizing and bringing together a large housing movement, not just with tenants, not just in Park Heights, but citywide with homeowners, tenants, and homeless, working together to fight for alternative housing models that didn't take advantage of people, and they made sure that everyone had their rights to safe, adequate housing guaranteed. So we did initially start working in Park Heights, but we've expanded around the city. We were working primarily with out-of-pocket tenants, private tenants with private landlords.
What do you mean out-of-pocket tenants?
Oh, sorry. with tenants who have private landlords. Mm-hmm. We haven't, hadn't really worked in public housing with public housing residents, but our organization is led by low-income renters, and when people started coming to us from public housing about this RAD program,
which is the privatization of public housing.
This is the
half the units in Baltimore being privatized, being managed or run or owned by private companies.
Yes,
following that
in the next 2 years,
right?
And we were reached out to, and then we started reaching out more into the other buildings that are being privatized, and our interest is in building a movement for housing rights, for the human right to housing. We think that housing is a human right. Everyone deserves access. No one is excluded. And right now what we see is that with housing costs constantly on the rise, with wages stagnating, with unemployment just soaring, safe housing is out of reach for a lot of people. A lot of people are really struggling, and one of the last strongholds is public housing, providing housing for people who wouldn't otherwise have it. And now even that is being threatened. So that's why Right to Housing Alliance got in this fight and are working with these wonderful people.
So I'm curious. I'd like to get some of your stories into this. But Sharon, I was curious why you, as a public housing resident, decided to join this movement. I mean, what is it that drew you to it?
When I became president of Bell Park Towers for the tenants, and it came to my attention of takeover by RAD. And as time is going by, I realized that it's actually a takeover of fading out housing. And my concern is for residents nationwide, where we'll be at in the years to come. Will we be out in the streets, be forced to live with family members, and some don't have family members? So they have nowhere to go. And housing is very important to them. They need this and to feel independent.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, RAD is supposed to be for the residents. But it doesn't seem that way if housing is not going to be in existence in the years to come.
And I'd want to get to that point you just made, because I have a feeling we're seeing what's kind of the push to end public housing in America as you know. Again, you've been involved for a long time. I'm curious as to your analysis of what you see happening and why you're in this as well.
Well, you know, I've been a community activist and organizer for a while, and I've noticed the pattern housing have when the housing market goes up good. Years ago, when the housing market went down and crashed, they sold off every Section 8 property that they could, and a lot of illegal stuff happened. A lot of residents were displaced. They were promised, oh, we remodel, you can come back. Too many brick walls were set up for those residents, and then they were lost in this, you know, in this space. It's important for me because that's my home. And if you're going to try to do something to my home, I should be able to have a say in it. You know, it's a lot of money in this program. Is all of that money going to what they say it's going to go to? Everybody doubts it. You're talking like for my building, for example, Bernard Mason. They claim they're going to spend over $10 million in renovations.
Right.
You can build a new building for $10 million.
So what are you suggesting?
Hey, you're talking about improvements. You're talking about, say, we're going to fix this. We're going to give you this brand new. But you're just talking. There's nothing on paper. And every time, you know, you hear something, it's changed. And it's changing fast. So what we would like to happen is for housing and HUD to just put the brakes on, allow the tenants to come in and sit down at the table and talk about what's going to happen. You know, that is our home, and we take pride in our homes. So, you know, let us have a say in it.
That's an interesting point. And it came up a bit in the conversation we had at Red Emma's the other night. But I think this is an important point. I mean, the question is how to design what comes next and what's always being left out of the conversation. What's being left out of the conversation is what happens with the idea that people have a right to the housing, public housing, and have a right to kind of manage their own home,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if you rent an apartment, you have a say against your landlord if he doesn't do what they're supposed to, or mm-hmm. if you have a condo, there's a condo association that makes the rules of the building. But we kind of treat, I think, in ways people live in public housing, it seems to me, and I don't know if you all agree with this or not, but it seems that people in public housing have been treated like, what's the word I'm looking for, very paternalistically, as if you were children as opposed to adults.
Yes. And you know, everybody in public housing is not sitting around waiting on a check. You have people that work, you know. I mean, they're barely getting by, and this helps them. You know, them only having to spend a third of their income. This really helps them. So what you're saying is that the help is going to stop. You have to be on your own and do what you can do, you know, to get what you want. And what's that going to cause? Homelessness, crime, depression. I mean, it's money.
Mitch, were you about to say what? Then we'll open the phones here.
You've made a very good point there, Gary, because what I'm looking at, not only are you going to displace residents, because there is no concrete decisions as to what the tenants are going to get. I mean, everything that I'm looking at is keep saying similar lease terms, similar grievance and purposes. Everything is saying similar. There's nothing concrete as to what the tenants are going to get. But not only are you going to displace tenants, but you're going to displace the workforce, the maintenance staff. You're going to displace the management staff. I have a pretty good management in my building. But all these people are going to get displaced, and there has to be some alternatives. I mean, what could the alternatives be for the average person that's in a public housing unit? Could it be a community? I would say community land trust. Community land trust is when a nonprofit takes the building, and they get funding for the building. It's not that the tenants are buying the building. It's not this. What were you saying, Gary?
The land, you mean?
Yeah, the land. And because I want to guarantee that there will be affordable housing for public housing.
So I'm going to open the phones here. Then I'm going to kind of have you all kind of jump in with what your ideas are about how this builds in this city? I mean, what is going on, what you were part of, and how this is building it, so we can get that sense and understanding. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Leo, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mark Steiner.
I know that voice.
And good morning to all of your guests and to the general public. Briefly, I'm a product of public housing. I was born in the McCullough homes on March the 11th, 1942. When public housing was viewed as transitional, where you could move from the poor to at least the middle class. Now I'm looking upon it as a gentrification kind of effort. When I look at what city officials are doing, I'm looking at the mayor, I'm looking at the city council, and more importantly, I'm looking at HUD. And I'm seeing that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, with its Section 8 vouchers, have done some good. But I'm looking at Madison Park North, for example, where they plan to eliminate Madison Park North. You know, a recent suit was filed there. I think you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an effort to get rid of McCullough Homes as well. They say it isn't, but you've got a new billion-and-a-half-dollar project coming in at Utah and Preston in that area, and they don't plan to keep public housing, although they keep telling us, we're told that they don't have enough money. Enough money is not being appropriated. Well, if it's not being appropriated, it's because they don't want to have the money. 200 maintenance men are going to, more than 200 black workers, maintenance men in the Housing Authority of Baltimore City are going to lose their jobs. And they're saying, the mayor has said they're going to be rehired maybe 2 years from now. I don't know what the hell that means. All of that is some kind of game that's being run on poor people, and it's not fair. Let's get Congressman Elijah Cummings on the line and Senator Barbara Mikulski and all these other people who say they're advocates for justice. Let's see what they have to say.
Leo, that's a great idea, and I think we'll make those phone calls immediately as the show ends to see if we can't get them on the air to talk just about that directly. Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. This is about gentrification in a lot of ways. If you look at the areas of town where these buildings are that they're privatizing, they're in areas that are up and coming. There are Lakeview Towers in Reservoir Hill. There are Chase House in Mount Vernon. There are Bell Park Tower in Park Heights where there's a big redevelopment plan. There are McCullough Homes. There are Heritage Crossing. There are near Johns Hopkins Hospital. These are all places that, if converted to market rate rents, are going to make a fortune, you know, and this trend of not only, trying to phase out public housing, push poor people out of these areas where they're trying to bring in a higher income, more attractive, higher tax base resident. It's also, this program is also geared toward maximizing the subsidy that these companies are going to get, these private companies are going to get. So when you look at the fact that this transitions the funding pool from Section 9 over to Section 8, which is a more flexible funding pool, they're actually subsidizing the units at a higher rate than they were subsidizing the individuals. And so these companies moving in are not only going to profit more off of the low-income housing tax credits and the Section 8 funding, but then they're also at the end of these long-term affordability contracts that they're going to have with the Housing Authority, they're going to be able to profit, even more by then pushing out all the poor people and collecting market rate rents on these high opportunity areas.
So the question I have for you all then, since you've been organizing together around this Right to Housing Alliance in Baltimore City, so what do you do? I mean, what is the collective response? I mean, and I'm curious strategically what you think is the answer to this. I mean, because A, it is true that HUD has and the federal government has steadily backed away from public housing and cut the funding drastically over the last 40 years in America. Keeps getting cut. I don't think that Graziano is lying when he says he doesn't have the money to do it. But the question is, what then? What should be done instead? And how do we get there? And how do you intend to get us there?
Well, strategically, Mitchell, strategically, Mark, what are we doing is we're organized within a lot of the buildings now, much more than the last time we was on the show. And I don't really want to put our strategy out there. but strategically, we're doing a lot of organizing, and there will be some major events coming up within the city for residents to reach out and get to the mayor and to get to HUD and to go downtown and, you know, voice our opinions. Because a lot of the residents, a lot of people that I'm speaking to, you know, what Leo was saying, regentrification, he hit it right on the head. He hit it right on the head. And it's like the HUD no longer wants to be in the housing market. They want to get out. And this is just one way of them saying, okay, let's ease them, you know, let's do this. And, right. And while they're doing it, like I said, they're not letting the residents know what's going on. We're in the dark.
So let me. There's actually someone who owns some Section 8 housing online here. Let's see what they have to say at 410-319-8888. Fran, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Love your show. Sometimes I get an opportunity to hear and sometimes not. But today I'm on my way to work and I heard this. I am an owner of a property in the city and I've had a Section 8 tenant in there for approximately 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're talking about the corporations getting tax breaks and everything. Well, why won't they give, you know, homeowners such as me who have Section 8, have a wonderful tenant, a break as well? Every year they do an inspection, and every year they find something wrong or whatever with the property. And I know I keep my property up because I could live in it myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I hear about the corporations and everybody getting tax breaks and stuff. But what about the little man that's providing wonderful homes for the tenants, you know, and tenants who are really good and everything? Why not help us out as well? They don't want to increase the rent, you know, but yet they're going to give corporations these, you know, tax breaks, and they're not doing anything for me, the little person who's trying to make a home for families. I just wonder about HUD and the Section 8 situation. It just seems to me, as your guests are saying, you know, it's not for the little people. It's all for the corporations. When do they stop?
Fran, this is a really, really interesting call. I'm so glad you made that call, especially. It's also nice to hear somebody who's owning a property and renting out Section 8 people who have what you said about the tenants themselves, which I think is important. But I think it is true, Jessica. There are all kinds of stumbling blocks being put in front of people like Fran to be able to provide the kind of decent housing she's talking about.
Well, that's because, sorry, Fran, I mean, it's not enough money for the city and housing to get a kickback from.
Mm-hmm.
I may be using the wrong word in kickback, but if you look at the structure of, like, say, this RAD project, HUD is getting some money, and the city will be getting money as developer fees.
And not only that, but you look at the tax credits that they're getting. The tax credits are going, if you really look at it, that's enough money to actually go ahead and fix the buildings.
What are you talking about?
The tax credits that they're going to be giving the corporations, they're going to be getting more money than what HUD is saying that they need to fix the buildings, the particular buildings.
Right. But I think just throw some out here as a wrinkle, but that's not. But unfortunately, that's not real money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not like money on the table. So the question is, I'm curious, what do you think you? How do you organize around this in terms of?
Well,
the right to housing in Baltimore, what are those arguments?
Well, you know, it's just everybody needs to really just wake up. You really have to look at what's going on. A lot of people in public housing buildings, you see what's going on ever since this RAD project started to take fold. Your maintenance kind of started going a little slower. We just got to organize. We need people to pay attention. We need people to make calls to their community representatives. We need them to make calls to their senators, their councilmen, the mayor, because it's all about numbers. And we have a lot of numbers in public housing. People sit back and say, oh, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. No, we can stop them. We have the numbers. We have the numbers to go down to housing and city hall and stand outside, you know, without signs and saying, save our homes.
Go ahead. Then we'll go over to Jessica. Go ahead.
I agree with you 100%. My point of view is the wealthy taking care of the wealthy, and the poor, they don't care anymore if they ever cared from the beginning. They may have started off that way, but once as time go past, you can see what you can get out of it. You will do the best for yourself. That's what's being done here. And this is America, right? We do have the freedom of speech. So we want to speak out. We all need to stand together and work on this together where we won't be ran over. As I say, which the saying's been around for a while, together we stand, divided we fall.
There was a tweet that just came in. I'll read it. Just do it, at Mark Steiner. Why isn't there a class action suit on AG privatization of public housing? HABC is a criminal enterprise and needs an audit.
Well, we've assembled quite a amazing cabal of legal groups that are willing that are working on legal, you know, ideas and solutions for this, including Homeless Persons Representation Project, Public Justice Center, Maryland Disability Law Center, Legal Aid, and University of Baltimore and University of Maryland attorneys as well. So they're, you know, they're figuring out what legal maneuvers are possible against this program. But I think in terms of, you know, what we actually do about this, step one is just having them stop the program right now. Stop the wheels, because there's not been resident involvement. There's not been time for people to actually analyze whether this is going to be of public benefit, which, you know, I think we all suspect it's not. Anytime you're selling, you know, you're selling off a private good for for a private company to profit off of. That does not ever benefit people. That does not ever end up well for people. You know, so alternatives to that, like Mitch is talking about, could be some sort of community control model. And I think pulling together the resources necessary to do that, there are foundations that support all sorts of, you know, we know some of the foundations have worked on, lent resources against displacement in East Baltimore. There's money out there, and these same companies that are getting the tax credits right now could be replaced with responsible stewards of a community land trust that would result in permanently affordable housing in these public housing buildings, not just affordable for the next 40 years until they can get out of it and make a, you know, big amount of money, but actually create a model where residents have some control over what happens to these properties, communities have some control over what happens, and we maintain permanently affordable housing for people who need it.
There's an email just came in. Phyllis wrote in, "Thank you for your show. I worked at the Wilmington Housing Authority as a young person, and I was shocked by the Baltimore plan for the demise of public housing. This is only the beginning of the big money incursion into the tax dollars we've paid to support housing authorities. Thanks again." Phyllis writes in. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Do we have time to get a call in before break? We do. Grace, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Connor, Grace.
And everyone. I am calling. I'm a member also. And I would like people to support this station because you have a good show. Now, the question is this. Is that how come they claim they don't have any money in the city? And this special message is going for my candidate, Ben Cardin, Elijah, and all these people, and the mayor, to please help these poor people. There's building up on podcasts that is bored up, and they talk that they don't have no money. What about all these people when they come to Baltimore, these tourists, and the ones them that come and make film, making picture? They have one coming right now. Another one is coming in to make some picture in Baltimore. And what about this casino that they're getting this money? Where is all this money going? They need to make up some houses for these poor people. Give them there's people, I know people that is on a low income. They're not barely making it. And they have nowhere to sit because I'm keeping a person now in my home because he have nowhere to go. She's not making that much money and she's looking for a low income place to live. Where is the money going? That's what I would like you to see if you can get that through the mayor, Ben Cardin. And another, one more question.
Sure.
The people that is going to vote, they need to listen. They need to look up who they're voting for and vote for the people that they know that is going to do something for them. And a lot of us is not voting. We need to vote. We need to go out there and vote for the right people. And we all, like the lady said, we all have to stick together.
Grace, I appreciate the call. We're going to try to wrestle with what you said when we come back from this break. We have a lot of people calling in. Floyd, Clarence, Robert, we're going to get your calls. We have a full house here in the studio as well. 410-319-8888 is the number. As we look at the future of housing, is housing a right? And what does that mean? We're here with the folks who are part of the Right to Housing Alliance in Baltimore City. And we're going out with Watergate Blues, and the great Percy Heath, one of his great solo numbers he created and wrote. It's appropriate for this day and age in 2014 to think about the Watergate Blues now. We'll be right back. Yes, that's the great Charlie Patton, who was born on this day, died on this day in 1934, one of the great original old blues artists in America, and passed away on 1934 on this day, and we remember Charlie Patton with his music and talk about the present, 21st century. We're talking about the future of housing. Is housing a right? Well, folks in my studio say yes. Jessica Lewis is housing organizer for the Right to Housing Alliance. Mitch Peterson is a member of the Alliance. He's a resident of Chase House. Sharon Jones is a resident in President's Tenants Union at Bell Park Tower and says yes, as does Gary Stroud, who lives in Bernard Mason. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We want to have you join with you with thoughts and ideas. And let's go to Floyd. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having my call come in.
We know that voice.
I want to first acknowledge Lady Jessica.
Hey, Floyd.
And the designated hitter, Mitch.
Hey, Floyd.
Champions. What I wanted to address today was what was on the program just before you, because that ties into housing. I had a meeting as the president now elected last Wednesday to Van Story apartment building here at 20th Street. And what I found was the artist is a great young woman, and the endowment fund they got from the Endowment for the Arts, the National Institute, was great, too. But I brought up as the only person that seemed to be concerned, there were no children involved in these pictures. And the picture that they seemed to want to select was one of a Stephen Fletcher, Amos and Andy brother standing there with a rabbit in a hat. And I'm like, wait a minute. And she told me, the artist, that because she lived downtown around Lexington Market, that was one of the images she chose to pose. You know what I'm saying? What about the young people behind us? I wanted something that would be inspirational. Actually, I asked that they have a program that would allow young people this summer to do the painting themselves. She could supervise it or oversee it and still get whatever money they're going to give her. Get the kids involved. That's what I want to see. See, I talk to Mitch and Jessica and Gary all the time. I'm not more concerned about myself as a senior resident in public housing, but about what will be available that's affordable as we move into the future from this present time here to make sure the children have some, as Mitch put it, affordable housing. Because I don't believe that the trickle-down thing is going to work. No money's going to come in to help them be able to afford no high-priced housing here in Baltimore City. So I think that the community land trust might be something we could pursue, and I hope that we at least will have them slow up and give some thought about what really do we want to spend our money for. Do we want to buy drones? Do we want to turn around and turn over public housing? The corporations that we all know are psychotic sociopaths that only have one agenda, and that's profit.
All right.
They don't care about people.
Floyd, appreciate the call. I'm glad you called, as usual. Always great to hear your voice. Let's get another caller in here. I do want to come back so I can get your thoughts on what you think. You take this next before we have to go to break at 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Steiner. Hey, I may be asking this question, Mr. Steiner, out of ignorance of the law, but when you have a policy like this one, RAD, coming from the Housing Administration, isn't that subject to injunctive relief of some sort, at least until you get a clear understanding of what it actually means and the effects it will have on the people that are under it? And I say this because a few months back or a month back, you had the housing, a person from the Housing Authority.
Graziano, right.
And no, not it was a lady.
Oh, no, those are people who are from HUD. Right.
Yes.
From HUD,
When you listen to that, it's, I don't know whether subterfugious is a word, but when you listen to her, there is not a clear understanding of anything. The devil was in those details. So, you know, that's why I'm asking that question. Is it subject to relief of some sort until, those questions,
right,
is it a right, can be answered? Thanks, Mr. Steiner.
Appreciate it, Clarence. Jessica, I mean, there are none of the housing lawyers are in this room, but what about that?
I think they're looking into that, into, you know, the legal possibilities
of
for
an
actually.
Injunction?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, we're certainly looking at putting some pressure in different ways to slow down the process. But I think, you know, the sentiment is absolutely right. We have, you know, I think all of the folks around the table here have been in these meetings at their buildings with the housing authority and with the developers. And the information they're getting there is different than the information
what
that Graziano was saying.
For example, when they first started, when they first started pitching RAD to the residents in my building in Bernard Mason, it was wonderful. Oh, we're going to pack your stuff up for you. We're going to get the boxes. We will store it for you. We will put you up in a hotel. We got you. But in reality, the second time they came, and when they came with the prospective new owners and prospective new management, they looked at us like we were crazy. They said, "No, we're not boxing up anything." And
they
then the city
said that.
Yeah, and then the city hollered, "Oh yeah, you might have valuables." Someone from the city hollered, "You might have valuables that we wouldn't want to break it." Then the next thing they had the audacity to say, "Well, maybe you know you have friends or family that has garages. Maybe you can store your stuff." Then it was. And maybe you know it shouldn't be for that long. So maybe you can stay with a relative until.
So are you saying that? I want to be really clear here. So what you're saying that took place is that when the meeting first took place with housing, and I'd like to hear what happened in your building as well.
Yes.
When they first took place in housing, they said they were going to put you in a hotel, pack your belongings while they were rehabbing the building. Right. Then they brought the owners in. They said the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's your.
Yeah, they first they told us that they would move us into a hotel and move your things out for you. And then it was, well, you take your important things to your valuables with you, or if we don't have to move you out, we'll work around you while you're in the apartment. So every time they come, it's a different
scenario.
It's different.
They paint
we don't know what's going to happen. What we do know is going to happen. We ain't going to be there longer if they have anything to do with it.
And no one wants to put anything in writing. As soon as you be in a meeting with them, you say, "Well, can we get this in writing?"
Yeah, they don't want to put anything in writing.
Oh, no.
Jessica, you say what?
I think even things like the lease contracts, you know, mm-hmm. the leases, as far as we've heard and we've been able to get information about, there aren't leases drawn up yet. You know, at least that's what they're telling residents. Like, you can't see the leases because there aren't leases yet. But we were in a meeting in a phase two building, and Michael Bocorni from the Housing Authority was there, and developer from Enterprise was there. And he was like, "Oh, no, these leases are exactly the same. We've got the leases. They're exactly the same." And we're like, why can't the residents actually see the leases right. that they're drawn up? You know, where's that? There's a big information gap. And I think what the last caller was getting at is that, you know, the residents are not getting the information that they need about what this program is. And then when we get the limited information that we're getting out, there's really strong opposition to this program. And I think putting the brakes on it until alternatives can be explored and some resident input is actually allowed in this process is a good idea. And that's what we're shooting for right now.
Well, you know, this raises a lot of questions, what you're just ending up with here in this conversation about what's been...
May I say something?
Yeah.
I know we were invited to a meeting at one time, the RAB delegates of each building and president tenant councils. But when we went to the meeting, we were told to sit in the back, keep our mouth shut, and don't say anything.
Who said that to you?
Don't want to say, but...
Well, who they represent?
It was housing, HUD. It was a meeting between HUD and the developers. All of the developers were there.
I see.
And the meeting was basically based on how fast can y'all hurry up with this so we can wash our hands with it. But we weren't allowed to ask questions. So we were told to sit back like little children, like we were being punished for something we have done, and we can't say anything or do anything about it. So this, to me... It shows that they are not for the residents, none of them. HUD, RAD, they're not for the residents. They are only for themselves and what they can get out of it and how they can hurry up and rush the residents out or get rid of the workers that's been working there for years and bring in other workers.
Before we have to close, where did that meeting take place? When did that meeting take place?
Oh, dang, I forgot the date. I do believe it was March 18th. I'm not too sure.
Okay, so
I forgot the date.
Okay, all right. So so we're going to have you all back very soon again as we continue our look at this and not letting this go. And I think that maybe it's time to call the people we were suggesting, Congressman Cummings, to have him comment on this, our senators, to see what their response to this, Congressman Sarbanes, people who represent sections of the city and Congress, and their response to this privatization of public housing, what's happening to our citizens. And we'll try to call Mr. Graziano's office again to get a response to what you all just said. I mean, we'll take the tape of what you just said and play it for them and see what their response is about what was said and not said. And we're on this. This is a story that was broken by the brew that we have picked up on here on the Mark Steiner Show, and we are going to keep on the story and follow this movement as it grows and builds in our community. Jessica Lewis is with us, Mitch Peterson, Sharon Jones, Gary Stroud, all members of the Right to Housing Alliance. Jessica's an organizer. Mitch Peterson, Sharon Jones, and Gary Stroud are organizers in their building. They live in the public housing in the city. Good to have the four of you with us.
Thank you so much. And once again, save our homes.
Yes, thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away. We're going out with little Don Redman. He was born on this day, so we're going to, after the storm, Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra. No, I'm not old enough to remember it, but it's still good music.